Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, you may have seen publicity for The Last of Us, or maybe you're already watching it. It's a 10-part TV series from HBO. It's being broadcast on Sky Atlantic here. Pedro Pascal from The Mandalorian is in it, Bella Ramsey from Game of Thrones. And the interesting thing about The Last of Us is that it came from the gaming world, and RTE business journalist Adam Maguire is here. And Adam has been taking a look at this crossover from gaming into the movie business. Good morning, Adam.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
This is an interesting one because we hear a lot about the value of gaming. That's just a massive industry, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's worth a fortune.
Really, really huge. Revenue from gaming estimated hit somewhere in the region of $195 billion last year. For comparison's sake, the film industry had revenues of about $100 billion in 2019, so before the pandemic. It's not quite recovered to those levels since then. So gaming about twice the size of the film industry. It's not a fair comparison, though, I don't think, anyway, because you might spend 60 or 70 quid on a game, and you'd also be including the console and the accessories, which are all very expensive in that, whereas, you know, a film is, you know, whatever, 10, what, maybe 15 euro or so to go and see. So it's much easier to rack up the billions in gaming, fewer purchases than it is in film. But still, either way, it's still a huge amount of money going into the sector. And it's really seen phenomenal growth in the past decade because of a number of factors. You know, mobile games are a huge earner now. We have these freemium games we've spoken about before, the likes of Fortnite. It's free to play, but you spend a fortune on transactions and micro purchases.
V-Bucks,
yeah, billions
game of my life.
In that game alone. And PC and console gaming has also become a lot more mainstream. So growing in all directions, and it's a big part of the reason why we're suddenly seeing a bit more interest now from TV and film studios.
But there has been a link over a long period of time between games and films or TV shows, but it used to go in the other direction, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a long tradition of the game tie-in to the movie or TV show. It goes all the way back really to the late 70s. So really the very early days of home gaming, you know, the Atari and the BBC Micro and all that. There are a few successes along the way. You know, there's a Nintendo 64 game based on GoldenEye that came out in the late 90s, still considered one of the best games ever made. But generally, a lot of these are pretty bad. They're kind of quick and nasty cash-ins on the success of a film or a show. And some of them are actually considered the worst games ever made. One is regularly referred to as the worst game ever made. It was based on E.T. It came out on the Atari 2600 in the early 80s. The developer was given just 5 weeks to make the game. They wanted to have it out in time for Christmas in 1983. Unsurprisingly, it was rubbish. It didn't work in parts. Apparently, if you moved E.T. the wrong way, he'd get stuck. And that was it. You just had to restart the game if you wanted to go anywhere with it. And there were rumours for years that Atari had dumped copies of the game to hide the failure of it. And a couple of years ago, someone actually went digging in New Mexico and found hundreds of thousands of old Atari games, including E.T., not just E.T., but others. And it's now one of the once buried copies is now in the Smithsonian in Washington, such as the legend around the game.
But they literally dumped it then?
Yeah, literally dumped it, buried it out in the desert in a landfill because of how poorly it sold. But generally we saw those movie tie-ins, but it hasn't always been a one-way street. There have also been some films and TV shows based on popular games in the past.
Okay, and that's why we're talking about this today, because of The Last of Us. But what are the other examples from previous years?
I think probably the most successful example is Pokemon. Many people probably think of it as a cartoon, but it actually started life as a game, and then the cartoon came out about a year later. It was actually two games for the Nintendo Game Boy. Earthworm Jim is a cartoon I remember as a kid. That was also based in a game. I didn't realise that till years later. And there would have been other cartoons, a lot of them targeted at younger viewers based on, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog and so on. But there were some big budget Hollywood attempts going back to the 90s as well. And again, like with the games, a lot of them were duds. The first big Hollywood attempt was a Super Mario movie in 1993. And it had a really stacked cast. It had Bob Hoskins, Dennis Hopper, John Leguizamo, Fiona Shaw. But it was this weird, dystopian, grungy kind of thing that really bore very little resemblance to the Nintendo game itself. And it was a huge flop, probably as a result. $5 to $10 million loss at the box office based on its budget. Hoskins and Hopper both said it was the worst thing they ever did. Although, as these things tend to do, it's kind of become a cult classic now. You know, these kind of duds
because
often
of the awfulness of it.
Partly because of the weirdness and awfulness of it. But we also had lots of other bad examples. There was a Street Fighter film with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kylie Minogue in the 90s, which was also pretty terrible as well. Lots of other films like that.
Just going back to Pokemon, the game came first, the TV show then. The TV show came second.
It came second, yeah. It was a year after it was kind of part of the plan, but the game came first and then the TV show.
And
came
did it work?
It did work, yeah. I mean, and said in Ireland, the cartoon was probably known of first by a lot of people, and then the game, and it's still a huge, huge franchise now.
Okay. And the cards, of course,
the cards as well. Yeah,
and the
cards,
still big.
And there are a couple of Pokemon films, and yeah, it's massive right. industry. Yeah.
Well, we have a clip. This is from the Pokemon movie.
A mysterious invitation.
You have been chosen to join a select group of Pokemon trainers at a special gathering.
Sets Ash and his friends on a dangerous voyage to confront a formidable Pokemon.
Humans may have created me, but they will never enslave me. The clone shall inherit the world.
You can't do this! I won't let you!
So game to TV and movies often doesn't work, but then sometimes it does, like Pokemon, and that encouraged the studios to take more risks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have seen some successes, Pokemon being maybe the most obvious one in terms of TV, but at the box office as well, you know, we had three Tomb Raider films, the first two with Angelina Jolie. They weren't great films, but they all made a lot of money, so they were successful in that sense. There have been seven films based on Resident Evil, which is a zombie shooter series, pretty much across the board critically panned, but they've made about $1 billion combined at the box office over the past 20 years. We've also had in the last couple of years a couple of films based on Sonic the Hedgehog. They've done quite well. There's a third one coming out this year as well.
We have a clip of the first one. Let's take a quick blast of Sonic.
Super Sonic!
Why are you hiding out in my garage?
They're coming for me! If they steal my power, they could conquer the universe. You have to help me!
No, I don't!
Please, it's life or death.
Super Sonic!
Good morning, my rural chum.
Mr. Dr. Robotnik.
I'm going to give you 5 seconds to tell me where it is.
Wait, don't hurt him.
Yeah, big hit in my house. And some of the hammiest acting from Jim Carrey ever, but it works. It's really, really enjoyable.
If people in your house love the game, like if somebody loves Resident Evil, even though the movie might be a turkey, they'd still be interested in seeing it.
They probably will be. And it works the other way as well, that, you know, my kids probably don't know Sonic as a game. They know it as a film.
Yeah.
But in a couple of years' time, they'll probably be playing the Sonic
graduate
game as well.
To the
yeah,
game.
Exactly. But aren't always successful. We've had a lot of duds. Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, all huge games, hugely popular franchises. Films based on those were all huge failures at the box office. And it's that unreliability that tends to make studios a bit cautious about it. We had a case in 2005. Microsoft tried to capitalise on the success of Halo, which is a big sci-fi shooter, a really, really popular game. It drew up a script on the games. It dressed people up as the main character, Master Chief, and sent them around to film studios saying, basically, we want a cut, we want an advance, and you need to give us an answer within X amount of hours if you want in on this. And a lot of the studios just said no, flat
yeah.
out. Two teamed up to try and get a better deal. They got Peter Jackson on board, Neil Blomkamp, but it just fell apart within a year. And it was last year before anything based on Halo was made. There was a kind of average enough TV show that was made rather than a big, huge Hollywood film that was planned 15 years ago.
Maybe they feel they don't need to put in the effort. You know, if you have your ready-made audience there, like we were saying, who are interested in the game, mediocre might be all right.
Well, I think that's been the assumption, but what tends to happen then is you just annoy everybody. So the average audience don't like it because they don't know anything about it. The
yeah.
fans of the game don't like it because it's not the game that they recognise. You know, that Mario being the perfect example, it bears no resemblance whatsoever to the game itself. So if you like the game, you might go and see the film, but you're not going to like it. And if you don't like the game, you're definitely not going to like it.
So they should strive for excellence, Adam, that's what we're saying.
Exactly, yeah. yeah.
So then we are seeing TV and film studios just showing more interesting games now, aren't we?
Yeah,
why is that?
I think there's two reasons for that. For a start, we've had huge success from comic book films over the last few years, and it's shown you can take an established property with a loyal fan base and make a successful film out of it. So 5 of the top 10 highest grossing films of all time are Marvel movies now. Together, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has more than $28 billion at the box office. That's across 30 films over 15 years. So a lot of studios now are looking for the next big cinematic universe, and they're going through, you know, libraries, book libraries and games libraries to try and find that content. But we also have a lot of countless streaming services with a lot of money and looking to fill their back catalogue. At the same time, though, the games themselves are getting more cinematic. You know, if you think of games in the 80s and 90s, they tend to be fairly straightforward. You know, kill the bad guy, you know, save the princess, win the race, whatever it was.
Did you ever play Doom? You are just the gun. You can't see anything else.
Yeah, so
it's very basic.
It is very, but huge. There was a film based on that as well with Dwayne Johnson. The Rock didn't do very well. Mm-hmm. Also critically panned as well. But yeah, like it, very simple games. Yeah. These are the bad guys. You have to get rid of them. Yeah,
still
works. Yeah, and there are still those games as well. They're still out there. But there are also a lot of other titles that are very well developed. Plot lines, characters, twists and turns, and you know, studios are bringing in novelists and screenwriters to actually make this work for them. For example, George R.R. Martin, who wrote Game of Thrones, was tasked with coming up with the mythology for Elden Ring, which is a game that came out last year. And it's not just the writing that's about making it cinematic. Studios are also upping their ante in other ways. The Last of Us, as the example we're talking about today, the composer for the score of that game, and now the TV show, Argentine composer Gustavo Santaolalla, he has two Oscars to his name for the score of Brokeback Mountain and Babel. So he really knows the stuff, and they brought him into the game to give it that cinematic feel. So ultimately, I think you have these two industries kind of coming together and meeting in the middle. And we're seeing the effect of that, gaming is moving beyond the kind of immature kiddie kind of image, because it's not just the kid stuff like Sonic, but we're also seeing more mature stuff like The Last of Us, which is a very gritty, dark kind of content.
Are you watching it? Have you started watching it?
I've watched the first episode. I haven't gotten to the second yet. And what's interesting is HBO announced the audience of the second was 22% bigger. Mm. So that shows you that people liked it, and the word of mouth is really good about it as well. People are staying with it rather than it dropping off.
Well, they're spending a lot of money on promoting it. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is everywhere. They see it as kind of one of their next big hits, because they're obviously looking for something to replace Game of Thrones, and this is one of the things they're looking to replace it with.
Don't forget, says Joe, probably the first video game movie tie-in, Tron, in the mid-80s.
Yeah, well, that was a movie based as about a video game. I presume there was a video game version of it then that came out after that event. I don't think the game came first, but I could be wrong on that.
And Kevin says the less said the better about Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that was going to be a big franchise for Michael Fassbender, but it just
didn't happen.
There's a TV show in the works on it.
So then what other game-based shows and films are planned that we know about?
Well, as you say, Last of Us is 10 episodes, so we've another, 7 or 8 to go. It'll bring us up to the middle of March. But then in April, we have a Mario film, an animated Mario film come out. Really interesting because of the last one in the 90s. Nintendo's notoriously very protective of its intellectual property, partly because it got so badly burned in the 90s with these fairly poor things that came out.
We saw a trailer for that the last time we were in the cinema a couple of weeks ago, and my children were saying, oh, we'll definitely go and see that. They have no clue about the game.
Yeah, and but it looks like a kid's film, though, at least. Mm-hmm. You can't say that for the 90s version of it as well. But essentially, they have Chris Pratt doing the voice of Mario, and a lot of people are wondering how that's going to work because he doesn't sound anything like Mario.
Oh, yes, I remember that controversy at the time when he was cast.
Yeah, exactly. But if it does well, we'll probably see loads of other Nintendo films. Zelda is meant to be in the works, another big Nintendo property. But if it fails, Nintendo will probably put everything behind closed doors and never go near films again. We've also got a film based on Gran Turismo, which is a car racing game for the PlayStation that's coming out later this year, a third Sonic film that I mentioned. And further down the line, there's everything from Duke Nukem, Pac-Man, Space Invaders, all going to hit the big screen. I'm not sure how a Space Invaders film is going to work exactly, but I suppose it'll just be a sci-fi. On the TV side, big streaming platforms putting a lot of money into this area as well. So Assassin's Creed, the film didn't work, but Netflix is hoping a series will.
Now going back to something that didn't work so recently.
But again, you've so many films, and there's a big plot line that runs through all, or sorry, games and a big plot line that runs through them all, that there's a lot of content to work with there. So they're obviously hoping they can kind of go about it a different way. We also have Amazon has plans for a series of Fallout, which is a post-apocalyptic series of games, sci-fi opera Mass Effect, God of War, which is based on Norse mythology. All of these are in the works. Amazon putting in particular a lot of money into games related content to try and pad out its back catalogue as well. So loads in the pipeline.
Okay, and The Last of Us is where we all started with this conversation, which is on now, and you've started watching it. The rest of us might give it a go. Let's take a listen to a clip from this new TV series called The Last of Us.
If I'm taking you with me, do what I say when I say it. Got any advice on the best way west?
Yeah. Go east. You've come this far, and you know what's out there.
You're not gonna scare us.
Scared him?
And that's from The Last of Us, and you can watch that on Sky Atlantic. Adam, thank you very much. We'll see you very soon. Dr. Maura Finn, our regular GP, will be with us a little bit later on. And today Maura is going to look at concussion, how to spot it, how to monitor someone with suspected concussion, and how long you should stay out of sports and to what extent you should worry about repeat concussion. So if you have any questions on that for Maura, text us now 51551, or you can email the programme todaycb@rte.ie. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.